This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression Apparel gives the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories of local legends in the Australian running community that you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 2, Episode 9, I interview Brisbane runner Abby Singh. 4 years ago, Abby was hardly running. A jog here and there was about as much as he was doing with his running. To give some context, Abby discussed on the podcast that he ran a few 25-minute 5K park runs back in 2019. Fast forward to 2023, he can now run a 16:30 for 5K, has smashed the hotly pursued 3-hour marathon barrier, now with a PB of 3 hours and 47 minutes. So tune in to hear Abby discuss in depth his training methods, mindset, group running, and footwear. Well, welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, Harvey. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ollie. And yourself, mate?
Excellent. I've never actually asked your full name. How do you pronounce it?
So it's Abhishek.
Abhishek. So I hear people calling you Avi and Arvi. Which one is it?
To be honest, pretty crazy as long as I don't get Abhishek. That's usually when I'm in trouble. So Avi or Arvi, I'll respond to it.
Hey, mate, it's the 10th of April, Easter long weekend. How's your running looked this weekend?
Yeah, it's been a good weekend of running. So did a session with the Bush Turkey guys on Friday. So that was, I think it was a hilly 25-minute tempo threshold. Saturday was pretty cruisy and relaxing, and then a long run on Sunday.
Is that pretty normal for you now, a Friday session?
Yeah, pretty much. So Fridays and then long run on Sunday.
Yeah, great. Hey, your long run was about 4:15 pace over hills on the north side of Brisbane. How was that experience?
It was good fun. It's pretty cruisy because by the time you're chatting and rolling through, and usually 20, 25 k's through it by that point in time.
And what was your elevation over that time?
I think it was about 350-ish.
Okay, for 35 k, it's pretty hilly, but not ridiculous.
No, nothing too bad. So it was through, so we started at Sandgate and then went through like Bracken Ridge and then into Brisbane Downs around the cemetery and back through Bracken Ridge back to Sandgate.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, where are the hills out there?
So Bracken Ridge, so I think it was Clive who must have created the so they created it to make sure they find the hills. So we went through Bracken Ridge's. There's a hill out there called Barrett Street, which is a well-known one for us. And then going through Beams Road, back through the Albany Creek Cemetery, there's a few hills out there.
Yeah, great. Hey, mate, you've been a long-term fan of the podcast. You're finally on here. I think from day one, after interviewing Kai Robinson, you were a fan, and we're often talking about it. We run a lot together. So how do you feel for the first time being on here yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So as before you released your first one, I think you sent it through for me to have a listen. So it's been a bit over a year now, I think. it feels good. And obviously, I think I mentioned to you that you've had some high profile guests, so not as high profile as those guys.
We definitely have, but I mean, mates, it's been what, 3 to 4 years? 4 years ago, you were hardly running at all, and now the PBs you're putting down from the 5K to the marathon are pretty good considering the short time you've had. So I'm looking to delve into how you've improved so much. You're running about 130 to 150K, I think, average
Yep,
weekly.
that's
Is that
about,
right?
yep. Yeah, that's my average case. So yeah, that's what I usually average, and obviously I've built up to that, but there's been a good group of people and guidance that I've gotten from. I pretty much started running 2019, early 2020, so around COVID time when all the
Yes,
gyms
yeah.
closed down. So that's when I started doing some structured running.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, to set some context, I think it was the weekend or last weekend, maybe a 10K trial was done with Moreton Bay Road Runners, North Brisbane. So, how'd you go in that? That was a pretty close time to your PB from memory.
So I got a PB. It was by 11 seconds. I think I went 34, 26,
Oh, it was a
27.
PB,
So
that's right, yeah.
yeah, so that was a PB. So it was a long time coming for my 10K PB. I think my previous one was Jetty to Jetty. It would have been July last year. So
What was that time previously you had for the 10K? 34, 40 something?
I think it
30.
was 34. I think it was 2 seconds slower than you. So what's your 10K PB?
I think it's 35 at Bridge to Brisbane and 40, maybe 45 on the track, which is a bit more
Oh, okay,
official than
so
Bridge to Brisbane.
yeah, so I think my PB at Jetty Jetty was 34, 37 potentially.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And mate, Moreton Bay Road Runners, how many people were out there for that event?
So it was a bit of a fundraiser event. So it was a
Yes.
combination with Moreton Bay there, and then I think it's Sudden Swim Group. There was a young kid who's unfortunately suffered a stroke, so it was a bit of fundraising for young William out there. So, and then we also had a few striders and additional guests like Bert, a few members from Bert
Oh, right.
guys come
Okay.
through.
And so William, he's got a connection to the Moreton Bay Road Runners Club in some way.
No, so it's more to the Sutton Swim Group. It's got a connection, but Moreton Bay and Sutton Swim Group are linked up together.
Yeah, okay, great cause. And who are the top three there?
So Clive Ross came through with the chocolates out there. I think it was followed by David Fontana and then Chris Willard.
Yeah, David being a BERT runner himself.
Yes, definitely. You'd
And
know him. He knows
yeah,
you.
yeah, yeah. I'm a bit fitter behind him out in the sessions, but Chris Woolahan
Yeah, he is definitely,
there
and he was my
too.
previous coach, so I've run a lot of Ks with him over the years.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Chris shortly. I'm sure that he'll tune in at some point. So you might have to watch carefully what you're saying there.
Yeah, tread waters carefully there.
Hey, mate. The next thing I wanted to bring up before we get into formalities was the national champs at CUSAC in Brisbane just the other week. Did you get into that at all? We saw Cal Davies actually take out the 1500 and 5K.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. No, I didn't go down. I was meaning to go down, but I had a Max Bucks weekend. Sorry, on the Saturday, and then the Moreton Bay time trial on the Sunday. So I didn't get down, but I watched it all on TV. So it was cool watching.
Yeah, same
And cool to
weekend.
see Queensland get up.
Yeah, he's diverse, of course, to cover the 1500 and 5K. He's got some talent across the short stuff and longer stuff, Callum, by the looks of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And your Bucks party before a 10K time trial. Didn't drink much, I guess.
Oh no, it wasn't my Bucks party, it was one of my close mates, and it was pretty tame for me. I don't go out drinking too much, so it's more running focused for me.
You know, we've spoken about that too, but in terms of your size, so you're a smaller athlete out there. I think you're weighing at
Definitely.
about what, less than 50 kilos, is that right?
Nah, a bit heavier. A bit heavy. So around 54, 55 kilos.
54, 55. I think one
Yeah.
time you told me a year or so ago you were unwell and you're weighing close to 40 kilograms. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. It was around April, May last year. So what happened? I got gastro for a week and then got influenza like 2 days after recovering from gastro. So I dropped from like the 54, 55 mark to down to, I think it was like 48 in the space of 2 weeks.
Oh, it's unbelievable, but definitely an asset to have that to be a lighter athlete out there. But mate, just a bit of background for the listeners about you and I, because we met in a weird sort of situation in the sense that I think about 3 to 4 years ago, maybe three, you reached out on Facebook to come have a run, I think, with the West End Running Group, my current group at the time. And I think
Yeah.
I just closed. It must have been 2020, which I responded in that manner saying, hey, mate, thanks for reaching out, but we're done. Yeah. Done as a group and I'm running solo now. So, yeah, happy to catch up for a run. And we caught up on the downhill bikeway at Chermside there in Brisbane for a jog.
Yeah, I think it was the first time I was just at the track. I used to go down to the track just randomly, just have a jog around. And I think you were down there just solo and we had a chat. And then I found you on Facebook and I threw you a message and it looked like you had a running group. So I was like, oh, let's see if I can join your running group. And then obviously that closed down. Then we caught up at the Downfall Creek bikeway, I think probably a month or two later from there.
I was wondering back then, so 2020, how would have you and I fared? So for 5K, for example, I think I was running about back then maybe a 18 something from memory, low 18 maybe.
Yeah, so I was probably around a 22-23 minutes 5k back then, so
you come a long way.
Yes, definitely.
So just talk to us about your age, where you're located, living at the moment, and you got a partner. What's happening in your life at the moment?
So I'm 26. So I moved out of home last year, so I'm just living here in Fitzgibbon. I have a partner, so we've been dating since grade 12, so since we're 16, so coming to 10 years now, so a long time. And would have to give her a huge credit to my running as well. From the get-go, has been supportive, drives me to all my races. Got some silly superstitions where I have to have my shoelace tied by someone, so she's always tied my shoelace before a race. So I've got some very superstitious when it comes to this specific things like that. But she was the one that encouraged me to go start running with Chris pretty much. So gave me the push. So I was very self-conscious going, knowing that these guys were quicker. So encouraged me to go out there and go have a run. So it's pretty much changed my life over the last 3 years, which gave me a huge focus on something, especially since leaving uni. I moved up to Bundy for work for a bit, then moved back to Brizzy. And it was just that grind of just when you realize having a full-time job and just working away and not really having any hobbies, which was, I was starting to get real frustrated just with life in general. So having her support me to, hey, go start running, giving me a bit more purpose outside of work, which I found hugely beneficial there.
Yeah, it's so important for them to either they're into running or they appreciate that you're into running. But it seems like she's got a bit of both. She's out there too running, not as quickly as you at 320 pace over a 5K, but she's running.
Yeah, she's out there running, which is great. If you actually look at her PB, it's going to be 17:50. That was after one park run, I accidentally scanned her barcode in instead of mine. But she's out there running. She's currently training for a triathlon too. So she understands the concepts of getting up, training, and being supportive in terms of, like, last week, we're currently building a fence around home. But last week she knew that I was going to have an effort on the Sunday. I just lays around inside while she did most of the painting outside. So it's just having that support there.
Yeah. And what about outside of running? What else are you into in the week? Obviously running 150K in a week will take up most of your time and that seems to be the main hobby, but what else is happening in the week?
So there isn't actually a great deal. I recently got a puppy. So spent a fair bit of time with the puppy, training the puppy. But I like being out and about. One of my biggest hobbies probably be camping. And I've got a lot of road trips and along those lines. I wouldn't say I have too many hobbies outside of running. Running is the big hobby. But takes a lot of time up.
It does. And speaking of that, how has that benefited other areas of your life with work or anything? Does running help with that mentally and emotionally week to week, day to day?
Yeah, 100%. You probably know that if you have a good session in the morning, the whole week you're sitting on cloud nine for the whole day, which makes the whole work day go well. But in terms of generally, I feel like running has really helped me progress in my work career as well, because running is one of those grindy sports where you just have to just be dedicated at it. So you learn the work ethic from the running concept, which I can relate to my work, which have seen me go leaps and bounds in my work environment as well.
Yeah, so we strip away the running in general for the last 4 years. Where would you be now, you reckon, if you weren't running?
To be honest, it's given me a lot more self-confidence and then also given me, like, putting myself out of the comfort zone. So if I wasn't running, I don't think I would have been able to push myself out of the comfort zone to get to the position where I'm at work, or just in general, just ability to talk and being around people.
Let's get to that. Hey, where, let's get the whole story from the start for Avi, or Avi, shall we call him?
Yes.
Yeah, where it started, you know, 3-4 years ago for running, but then also where you were born, what your background is too, cultural background for the listeners to get a bit more context here for the interview, and then get into what it looked like at all for physical activity and running in school.
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually born in Fiji. I was born in 1997, so I'm what, 26 this year. But I moved to Australia when I was 3.5 with my parents. And then I've lived in Brisbane pretty much for all my life through there. North side Brisbane predominantly. So I went to Tagum in my primary school, then went to Aspley through my high school. And funnily, my running actually came about for in grade 12. So my partner, Tamika, has been a runner growing up and then all the way through. And I didn't want her to beat me in cross country. So that's where it exactly started from. So Astley's cross country was about, I think, 3.5 Ks potentially. So I trained for that. So when I say trained for that, I probably went, there was no GPS watches or anything when I was doing this training. So I'll just go for a jog loop, which I've done the loop since I've had my Garmin. It's only like a 2K. And I'll do that 2K probably every second or third day leading into cross country, just because I wanted to make sure she didn't beat me, as a bit of a rivalry that we have. So that's when my running started. And yes, I did beat her, which was, I still go to that day. That's the last time she ever beat me in a running race. So that's where running started, but that's it. That stopped from there. So I've got a cricketing background. So I started playing cricket when I was about 7 years old, and I played right through till I was probably 20, 21. I've stopped playing since having a full-time job. Just couldn't waste the full Saturday out in a cricket field while working pretty much.
And cricket, that's not a prominent Fiji or Fijian sport, is it? Where would it rank?
No, they didn't actually have a Fijian cricket team, funnily enough. But my cousins down here played. So I've got an Indian heritage as well, but obviously born in Fiji. They played cricket, so I got in through cricket that way.
Okay, so both parents now, you bring in the Indian heritage and background there as well. So how does that work for parents?
So they're both actually Indian as well, but they were just born in Fiji. So I'm not sure where exactly how far my ancestry goes back to India. I've never actually investigated that, but there is at some point somewhere. Well, my great-great-grandparents are obviously from India.
Okay, so wind back the clock to primary school. Any involvement there across country or any influence, do you think, from your parents at the time at all that led to you running it all today?
No, I wouldn't say so, to be honest. So I may have mentioned to you, I was weighing in about grade 7, grade 8, I was weighing about 70 kilos. So you know how tall I am, not a tall bloke at all. So I was quite, pretty obese, overweight, probably till about grade 9, grade 10.
Yeah, right.
So there was literally no running back then.
Was that a result of not doing too much? Or was that kind of genetically the way that you were predisposed as a kid?
So obviously you play cricket, but if you've played cricket, you've seen cricket, you can be standing around in the field for a very long time. So you don't actually expend much energy. I think it was just I just ate a fair bit and not much energy expenditure. So I did play sports. Like I played in the school rugby team at Tagum, and then just played here and there, and always in the streets playing like cricket or soccer or something along those lines. But it wasn't anything structured. So I was genetically, well, I could say probably a genetically like just a larger kid.
Yeah, so you mentioned 21-ish was about the time that the cricket was seen through the back door, but running hadn't featured for 5 years. What was happening in the early 20s for Avi?
Yeah, so I just graduated uni, or even in uni, I ran, but it would have been like 15 Ks a week, like tops. And it was just more like a outlet to de-stress. I would go to the park runs and stuff along those lines too, but it'd be like once every 3 or 4 months I'd turn up to Zilmia Park Run, which was the local, but there was nothing structured. I'd go for a 5K jog, just out of the blue. If uni was frustrating me, he'll go for a jog.
Yeah, right. So have you got, like, were you scanning a barcode back then for Parkrun? Would you have times that you could actually look up online to see what you were running at the time?
Yeah, I could. Actually, my first, very first Parkrun, I think, was at like 27 or 28 minutes. So that would, I've got a feeling that may have been 2019, 2018, potentially.
Yeah, right. Right. So
Yeah.
that accelerated pretty quickly. So it's back end of 2019, you think, was the time where you started to run a bit more? And why or how did that come in at that point in time?
So it was actually, would have been at end of 2019. I was at a Zulmia Park run, and then Chris Woolahan was there. And if anyone knows him, he loves to have a chat. So he was pacing a bloke there. I think his name was Sean. And so I just jumped on to see how it go. And I went relatively well there. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool. I was like, cool. My goal was to try to get under sub 20 at some point back then. And then just before, I think the COVID lockdowns was 2020 off the top of my head. Just before one of the lockdowns there, he was pacing that Sean got bloke again. And I jumped on, and I think I did like a 1956. And I thought, this is super cool. Like, I was on cloud nine for the next 2 weeks there. So that's where it started from, running. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I was down at the track during the COVID lockdowns, and Chris Woolahan was there with a bunch of the Striders guys. Chris was injured at the time coming back, so he wasn't doing a session. So I got chatting to him, and he's like, oh, he runs around Marchin Park. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll jump in with you. I'll see what I can do. I knew him. So him and Paul, I knew of them, like the quick guys. They'd come down to Zulmia Parkway occasionally. And if you've ever done Zulmia Parkway on the old course, my goal would be if I cross the bridge to see if I can see them finish. So I'd probably be like a K and a half off from my finish line to when they finish. So I started running with Chris around Marchin Park, just gradually over COVID, and it gradually became to every day of the week running around Marchin Park and Zulmia AFL fields. So that's where my running really started from there.
Yeah, and a bit of an idea about Marchin Park for the listeners too who haven't been there. It's unique in the sense that it's quite hilly, very easy to access elevation there. So do you know how much elevation you'd get from a lap, which I think is about, what, 2Ks? Is it around?
A lap is 3Ks. And I think it'd be potentially maybe 50 to 60 meters elevation around there. From people who have me on Strava, they'll know I used to do a fair few Ks around Marchin Park, 2020, 2021 time. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty good place to run if you just want to get some elevation. And it's all bike paths around Marchin Park, so it's pretty safe too.
Yeah, there's a full bike path around it, which definitely can help with that. And the option of grass too there, right?
Yeah, there's grass. Obviously, there's cricket ovals around there. I think there's 9 ovals, so you can run laps of that too if you want.
Yeah, so was Chris Woolahan going there in the first instance to get that benefit from the hills, or was it a place simply that was accessible to him?
So he used to go down there for the hills as well, because as you know, he loves the hills. So he used to go down. It's easily accessible for him, but it's an easy place. I think it's on the way from work, between work and home for him. So I used to drive down every afternoon and jog some laps with him there.
Yeah, so by what, early to mid-2020, how many Ks were you doing? And was there any, like, negative impact from doing the hill so quickly there at Marchin Park?
No, not really. So I actually quite remember my biggest week, I thought, which was crazy in my opinion, was the 2020 Easter. That long weekend, I cracked 70 Ks for the first time ever. For the whole week, and I thought, like, oh, okay, I'm probably not going to go much higher than this ever.
Sounds like my mileage.
yeah, that's true. So I started running there. So I got to that 70Ks, like, so 3 years ago to a similar point right now. And I was like, this is crazy. And in saying that, Chris at that point wasn't coaching me, but he would guide me. So I wasn't doing a long, like my long run would have been 10 or 12 Ks, something like that, and running around Marchin Park, which was relatively slow. he'd like, if he was going to do a faster run around Marching Park, he'd tell me not to come, just do something else somewhere else. So I was jogging at like maybe 5:15, 5:30 Ks per minute Ks.
Yeah, so I guess from a very like early time in your running, like in the last 3 to 4 years, from 2020, the slow jogging was definitely a prominent part of your training. So what benefit did you find from that running like 5:30 pace most of the week?
Yeah, well, I think it was good and believe when I was first getting into it, as you'd be aware, as you start to build the Ks up, doing the slow jogging, so it was the 80-20 principle that I was following really. But doing the slow jogging, it just meant I never actually got significantly sore, which was ideal. I think when people first get into running and they start to get significantly sore, it may be a deterrent. So that didn't deter me because I wasn't getting sore along those lines.
Yeah, so fast forward to the end of 2020, how many Ks were you hitting then, and what sort of 5K time were you at now?
So I think 2020, I did a half marathon in 2020. That was the Great South Run. So what I had envisioned before I even started running with Chris was like, I wanted to crack an hour 30 because I was like, my previous PB before then was, I think, an hour 36 potentially. So I was like, I want to crack an hour 30. So quickly, my focus, I told Chris this, that's what I want to do. So we changed, start doing some longer stuff. But in saying that, my mileage was probably around 72. I hadn't cracked 100 Ks still, I think 2021, mid 2021. So it was probably around somewhere between 70 to 95 Ks per week I was doing.
Yeah, so what, within a year then, or year and a half from the end of 2019 to now getting into start of 2021, how many half marathons or even 10Ks have you done?
So my first ever half marathon was actually BOI Daybreak, which was a trail half marathon, and that was in 2019. But I was in gym. Just one, it was a Sunday. Oh, it was a Saturday afternoon. I was in gym and I was like, it'd be cool to do a half marathon. And it was the back half of the year, so there isn't many left, but BOI was. So I think it's the first week of December, BOI usually is. So I was like, oh yeah, this is the only one left. So I'm just going to sign up to it. So I signed up to it, and I did that in my first ever half marathon. And then after that, let's say that was an interesting one. It's very hilly trail marathon. I think I ended up finishing in like 2 hours 15, 2 hours 20, something like that. But then I did Jetty to Jetty, would have been 2019 as well, potentially, which I think it was still like 1 hour 56. So I've done a few halves, but that's when I was doing my own training through uni, but which was averaging about 15 to 20 Ks.
Yeah, then you sort of did a handful in the 120 range there for a year or so, didn't you? And when did that start when you came that quick?
So, my first half, so the Great South Run, which was late 2020, I broke the 120. So my goal was to get 130, but I think it was 119, like 56 or something. So that was a surreal experience, to have a goal, and then with a short time of training, getting to that goal, which was great.
Yeah. So, what, 2022 then? So we thought COVID was gone by 2022, but the start of last year it was still around. But what did that look race-wise for you? What did you compete in last year? And we're getting close now to PB territory. We'll go through those a bit more formally in a moment.
So what happened? So 2022, I did a couple of halves in 2022. So no, actually, I went up to Bundaberg and did the a half in 2022, as well. But in 2021, I did a few other races. To be honest, I can't remember off the top of my head where they would have been because if 2021 was really disturbed by COVID, so there would have been any structured races. I did sign up to Gold Coast. So originally, I signed up to the half marathon there. As Chris said, probably doing a marathon wouldn't be the greatest idea at that point. But then I started dropping a few PBs in that 2021 time frame when he I went away for a bit, and he's like, hey, I think you should sign up for the marathon and see if you can break the 3 hour barrier. But unfortunately, obviously, Gold Coast was cancelled, so I did a marathon out at Sandgate on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, I remember this. Wasn't it quite warm or rainy from memory? There was something, it's just something challenging about the weather.
It was a rainy afternoon, but luckily that afternoon the rain stayed away. And for the people who run at Sandgate, it's usually windy, really windy on an afternoon. It was a perfectly still afternoon on that Friday afternoon.
So this was started, when was this end of, now I'm getting my dates mixed up. 2021,
So
yeah?
this would have been 2021.
End of
So
2021, Friday afternoon,
yeah,
marathon
it would have
along
been,
Sandgate.
so June, July, whenever Gold Coast usually is. So yeah, that was my first marathon, which is a bit of an anticlimax, but it was great that afternoon because I ended up going, I think it was 2:57, which I was paced out there. So Anthony Fulcher and Steve Woolley paced me ultimately through the 42Ks on that afternoon.
And Steve Woolley, our host of the what is it? Eat, Sleep, Run, Repeat podcast.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So that was before that podcast came about. So Steve and Anthony actually we ran together at Great South as well. So when we paced each other for the PB. So we all had a goal to try to break that 1 hour 20 by that point in time.
Yeah, and dead flat out there, but windy, you're saying. And how was the pacing overall? Did you nail the pacing for your first marathon in non-race conditions, shall we call it?
Yeah, to be honest, that 2:57 I did. There was no cramping, there was no issues at all. And funnily, because we were originally going to do it on the Sunday, but the Sunday was meant to be a super windy day, so we just moved to the Friday. So that marathon was done on, I had an up and go in the morning, so there was no nutrition, no nothing. So it was just into it and just did that marathon that day.
One up and go, nothing during the whole marathon.
During the marathon, I think can't recall properly, but I may have had one gel, and then we had like a bottle of like Gatorade or water I would have had. So there was no nutrition that day.
Jeez, and was that out of was it difficult to plan that, like even hydration along the course being a time trial on your own?
Yeah, and obviously because if you run along Sandgate, if you start at Decker Park and go to Moore Park along those footpaths, you can leave bottles there, but cleaners go through, stuff get picked up. Luckily, none of our stuff got picked up, but there was bottles at the end at the near the pier at Shauncliffe, which we picked up. But I was at that point, I didn't actually really understand the concept of nutrition and all that along all that jazz. So I thought, yeah, a bottle of water, that'll be good enough for me.
Yes, mate. So what, 2 years from starting jogging around, you know, even 20, 30K to 70K and then a marathon 2 years later
Yeah,
and breaking
definitely.
3 hours and not a race.
And to be honest, like I really at that point really didn't understand the concept of how big breaking that 3 hour barrier is, because I was so new to running, so I was like, oh yeah, 3 hours, that's just the time. But now that the more I've been around running, you realize that how big that 3 hour barrier is.
Yeah, and you sort of the K's increased a lot, didn't they? Quite quickly, you know, within the short span of your running time. And we'll get to that shortly because I wanted to get to your PBs and then come back to your training week and yeah, and how that kind of eventuated to what you're running now. So, mate, I've got a bit of a challenge here. I'm going to have a guess of your PBs from what I think they're around. So your 5K, I think, is around 16:30-ish. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's 16:30 on the dot.
Is it nailed it? One out of I got four here up to the marathon. 10K you just mentioned, it's around low 30, not 34, 30, 34, 20 something.
34:27.
27 just the other week. The half now, this I think this is around 115, isn't it?
No, a bit slower than that. So it's 1:16:40 something. So that was
Yep.
at Roadrunners last year.
Roadrunners last year. Yep. And the full marathon, the marathon now. So that's two, what, 40 something, I think.
It's 2:47, high 2:47s.
Which was Gold Coast?
Yeah, Gold Coast last year.
Last year. So just tell us a bit about those, particularly the half and the marathon, because that's where your interests lie now. How was your
Yeah, definitely.
experience with the half first? The
So the half,
116.
Yeah, so the half was a great experience. So obviously you go down to Roadrunners a fair bit too. It's a good atmosphere and you get some quick guys out there. But it was once again, so last year we were training for Gold Coast. So where I think it was actually a year, it would have been, it came up in my Strava memory as a year ago yesterday, 1 year ago yesterday, they held the champs for the half out there. But Roadrunners, so it was just pretty much a training run leading into Gold Coast. And I think, so I didn't think I was in PB shape at that point in time, but obviously it came about, which was great. I think it, most of that run at the Roadrunners was solo because, as you know, Roadrunners, there's that front group that'll go, and then there's usually that middle group that's around.
Yep, I'm in there.
Yeah, that middle group that's around there. So I remember I'd seen Nathaniel Wells, which I think you know of as well. He was there. I saw him in front of me, and I knew that he was relatively quicker than me. So my goal was how I race. If I know someone, I don't like losing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to catch up to him. And so I stayed behind him for most of the race and then just took over at the end, and came across with a PB quite comfortably, which I was quite happy with. And at that point in time, I realized I was probably quite fit at that. But unfortunately, a couple of weeks after that, I ended up getting gastro and influenza. So Gold Coast, leading to Gold Coast, I was pretty much just trying to get myself ready to get there.
Yeah, so how far out was that from Gold Coast? About a month or
So
so.
that was April. So it was this time, but when I got sick, it took me, so my, when I had influenza, like my resting heart rate was sitting at like close to 190s. So it got me pretty bad. So I pretty much for 3 weeks from this time, April, 3 to 4 weeks, I just couldn't get running at all properly. So I think I was doing about 60 or 70 Ks a week. At that point in time, so I was aiming for 248 at Gold Coast, but I had a chat to Chris and I was like, look, and we both thought, let's see what happens because it's uncontrollable, like you're getting sick. So marathon training was pretty much on hold for about a 4 week period, leading into Gold Coast.
Yep. And then how'd the sort of week or two leading up to it appear? Because you can't just sort of bring back all the Ks all of a sudden. That's generally the taper time for a marathoner.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the early June, I went up to Bargara to do the half marathon up there, and the main thing was that to just go up there to see if just get some confidence back into running because I was pretty low in confidence by that point in time. Like I'd go out to do an easy run, and my heart rate would jump up to like 160 quite quickly. So I was like, so Chris said, it was like, all right, just go to Bargara, just have a run to see what happens. I got the win out there and I ran quite comfortably. So I was like, okay, I think I ran about like a 117-ish out there. So I was like, well, I'm not that far off my what my PB would have was. So I was like, let's see what happens. We did a few marathon sessions as well. So I've been lucky enough that Chris leading both through both of the marathon preps, he has paced me through my marathon sessions. So you have a pretty good when your coach can just run alongside with you, helping you out. So he helped me out a lot leading last year, especially when my confidence was low. So pacing me through my sessions. And by the time taper started, so we only took a 1 week taper before Gold Coast last year, just because I was trying to cram in the training to see what happens.
So that second last week was literally a normal training week, nothing down
Yeah,
about the
so
mileage or intensity.
not nothing down. It was just the last week that was the down
How
week.
long was your long run?
My last long run, so it would have been about 90 minutes maybe.
Yeah,
So we
about
cut the
20K.
down long. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So was that your second marathon?
Yeah, so I've done only, or I've raced two marathons and then I've paced Sunny Coast last year as well.
Okay. All right, there's the PBs done. Let's get into this training
Yeah.
week, eh? We got about 5 minutes on the clock until it tells us to get to upgrade to the pro version,
Yeah.
and then I send you through a new
Okay.
link.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so this you hit pretty big mileage, mate, after a year or so. Like, at what point did you hit sort of 120, 30K, and and what benefit did you get out of it, or even some cons to running so much early in the running time of your life?
Yeah, so with, to be honest, my training until this start of this year. So Chris, as I said, as you know, he coached me, so everything was guided by him. So it was to the point where I was essentially his test dummy for his coaching business that he runs now. So 1K at a time. So it was pretty much what he was doing was building me up from very low Ks. So it was just a gradual build, probably quicker than what most other people do. But by the time start of last year, I started hitting the 130, 120 to 130 mark off the top of my head. So it built me up into that, following the 80-20. So I'd be doing 2 sessions a week, and then a lot of easy running around the session as well, leading up into that. So having that structured and having it taken away from, like, I didn't have to do any thinking. So he essentially gave me, like, this is what you're going to do today. These are the paces you're running, which made it really easy for me to get through.
And yeah, I guess you go.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say though. Because of the gradual build, I've been lucky that I've been injury free. Touch wood, but I haven't had a long period out at all. So the most I would have is probably like 2 or 3 days I've had to rest if I've had like a glute niggle or a knee niggle, and usually it resolves itself.
Yeah, and I guess the fact that there weren't many races happening either allowed you to actually be consistent with the training, maybe even helped with the injury. But what injury, or lack of injury, what's been your worst injury in that time in the last few years?
So luckily, I studied exercise physiology at uni. So luckily, I've got the knowledge to know when the injury is about to come about and nip it before it happens. So the worst thing I've got was just a glute. It was like an early stage tendinopathy, which I ran through still, but it was just, I made sure I did the exercises around it to make sure I could be able to run through it.
Yeah, okay. And now, mate, so the training week now, what does that look like? I often sitting in 130, 150K a week, running a bit quicker these days than the old days, and arguably maybe less hills, but let's hear it from you.
Yeah, so definitely less hills because we were going, some of our long runs would have been at Bunya. So we moved away. So I've started training with the Bush Turkey Track Club now. So usually what happens, I'll try to do about 20Ks on the Monday. So I'll split my Monday up into 10K blocks. And then we'll do a session on the Tuesday, which will probably in the morning around 15 to 17Ks. And then I'll go out in the afternoon and do a couple of extra Ks, maybe 5 or 6 Ks in the afternoon, and then add a gym session to that. So I warm up to a 5 or 6 K and then into a gym session. And then Wednesday, the Bush Turkey guys, we do a medium long run. So it was 90 minutes. Now we've gone up to 1 hour 40, and we'll gradually build up to 2 hours leading to Gold Coast. Thursdays usually, once again, I break it up. I try to do 20 Ks on a Thursday. But they may be 12 in the morning, 8 in the afternoon. It really depends how I'm feeling. So Thursday morning, I generally wake up feeling a little tender. So I may do it 8 in the morning, see how I'm feeling in the afternoon, add a few more Ks. And then Friday, we do a session again. So that's once again about 15 Ks and then 5 Ks again in the afternoon with another gym session. And then Saturdays, my Saturdays lately have been anywhere from only 8 to 10 Ks, just to take it easy before the long run, just because we know we hit the long run pretty quick. So I don't want to go in with stale legs and then keeping adding the compound fatigue to it.
Mate, I just wanted to get into your week in terms of what you aim for. You know, you're sort of hitting 130, 150K, but even like last week I've seen you hit 85 or 90K. So do you plan down weeks, and why is there a variation between the 130 to 150 or 120 even?
Yeah, definitely. So since training with the Bush Turkey guys, so there is usually a down week. So from what it seems, I'm saying that I've only really started training with the last 4 to 5 weeks, but it seems like The fourth week is a down week, which usually coincides with the time trial or the next down week coming up. It's going to coincide with the week after the GC running festival. So it's always good to have that 1 week after banging out a few great Ks to recover.
And that must feel like not much running at all to go from 150 to 80K, which there's runners out there running 30, 40K. So that must feel like there's not much there to get done. Both mentally and physically, it should be definitely reassuring, and recovery-wise, a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. It gives you – so to be honest, last week was my first proper down week I've had, and going into this week's of training, it felt like it was required, and I think I got to, I think, just over 150 Ks this week. Just good refresher of the legs, and just muscle, and then also just your mental fatigue. Get to have that sleep in, which is – we'll say good.
Yeah, and what is the sleep in for you? 7 o'clock, not 4 o'clock?
Generally, well, I usually get up at the sun. So at the moment, the sun's coming up later, which is good. But generally, by 5:30, I'm usually up and about.
Yeah, and those double runs. So most of a handful of the days of the week, you're doubling. How do you find that for recovery? Like when you've done a session or a hard run, particularly the day before, and then breaking that into two runs. Do you find that beneficial in some way to do that?
Yeah, or I generally break the two runs up. I use running as like a concept of mental health and recovery as well. So I do like doing a run after work, give you some time to just for yourself, just relax, switch off, just roll with it. So in the morning, if I know I'm fatigued, I won't even bother looking at my watch, what I'm running at. I know 10K loop around home, or if I'm in the office for work, I know a 10K loop there. So I'll just go jog out, turn around, come back. In the afternoon, it's always good. I find it's a bit of exercise, get that endorphins going through after, which can be a long day at work at times. So that's why I break my runs up. It's not really for any specific purpose. I'm breaking my two runs up.
Yeah, and you mentioned the watch looking there too. I recall back in the day, you looked at it a lot, even jogging and on slow runs. And I think I was an advocate for you trying to not do that. Have you found
definitely
a benefit and a positive impact of not looking at the watch?
Yeah, definitely. So I've got into habits, especially coming, starting up running, looking at seeing where the heart rate is. And as you would know, that heart rate can fluctuate. If you're stressed or frustrated at something, it can be through the roof. And then as soon as you know your heart rate's through the roof, you tend to start to want to pull the pin pretty quickly when you're doing an easy run. So the fact that when not looking at the watch, you can actually enjoy it. You start to actually enjoy running rather than focusing on those little numbers and figures appearing on your wrist.
Yeah. And have you had a go at it in the park runs or any races a bit more so in the last 6 months or year or so? Like how about the 10K trial the other week? How many times did you look at the watch in that one or track it?
To be honest, I looked at my watch only twice in the whole 10K time trial. So when I crossed the 5K point, so I was like, I'll see, just see if I make sure I'm at what the target is. And I looked at it in the last K just make sure I was going to get to that target. And it made that, it's probably, I know it's just a time trial, but it's probably one of the most enjoyable races, knowing you're just running to feel and just having a bit of fun. I have done a few races, so jetty to jetty last year. I didn't actually race with a watch at all. So just went with the pack and see what happened. But that if you go back and look at the times, I think my first 5K was like a 16:40 and the second 5K was like a 17:40. So it has your upsides, but it's always good to have that reassurance on your wrist.
Yeah, but surely you've learned to your track and have an idea of your pace these days more so than when you started a few years ago.
Yeah, definitely. Since been looking less at my watch and just doing the easy runs, it made the time trial, you were more aware what your body was going at. So I was actually running at what my goal pace was without actually realizing or having to look at my watch. So even in sessions, I've stopped looking at my watch. It's like a 10K effort. I do what my effort is rather than trying to focus on the time to get.
Yeah, and there's many things now we can focus on away from time. Like you mentioned, how you feel, it could be breathing or heart rate, or just the time running for 30 minutes or whatever it is, and you just get it done without having to look at the watch.
Yeah, definitely.
And mate, about a year ago, the Bush Turkey group were hardly even around. When were they kind of founded? Who's running that group? And you know, you've got to credit a lot of your improvement to Chris Woolahan, you mentioned earlier. But it seems you're really enjoying the group environment now. And getting a lot out of that week to week.
Yeah, so hands down, the first 3 years, all the credit goes to Chris Woolahan and 1K at a time with his coaching. He started to realize I was getting to the point where I was getting quicker, but I was training solo always. All my sessions were by myself. All my recovery runs were generally by myself. So his program changed slightly. So I wasn't doing my sessions with him as well. And even if I was doing it with the sessions with Chris, he's obviously significantly quicker than me. So it was more just running after, just chasing a bloke around a track, really, which mentally can get a bit exhausting. So we decided to part ways, and he said, go train with these Bush Turkey guys, Bush Turkey Track Club. So it's guys and ladies, obviously. See what happens. So I've known Clive Ross and Stephen Butcher, and then also there's Anthony Middleton, who officially created the Bush Turkey concept. So they've been actually around for a while. So I think it started off as just a group of people who wanted to get a sub 90 minute half marathon, and then they decided to make it a bit more formalized and add a name to it.
Yeah, right. So they've been around for a handful of years, but
in that last year,
it's definitely accelerated.
Yeah. I think it's off the top of my head, maybe they've been around for maybe 2 years, but accelerated in the last year or so.
Yeah, and a lot of promotion for it now. Like I'm seeing a lot of posting up on Instagram and social media to get the word out there. And the numbers, what sort of numbers would they get there week to week?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, so for example, the Friday session that we did, I think there was about 10 of us. So it's not huge numbers, but having a group, it makes that early morning wake up much easier, especially the Wednesday medium long run, which is always enjoyable. But because solo, I find getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to be doing 20 Ks by yourself. So having a group jogging with them, and even tomorrow morning, known for the fact that there'll be at least four of us doing a session together, which makes it a bit more excitable, but fun there.
Yeah, but 10's still a group. That's a decent number. I can run with over 50 at Burt, but it's not like you're running with one, mate. 10's definitely a group that can help.
Yeah, definitely. So it splits up into different paces across the time, but having that 10 group of 10 in the long run, definitely it pays dividends. Going solo for 30K solo is a bit of a mental grind.
Yeah, so do you think there's actually been a benefit from running quite a lot solo though, to learn to enjoy it in some way being alone, and learn the skills and mental mindset to get through, whether it be a jog or a harder session?
Yeah, definitely. It does give you that mental grind and the ability to get yourself out the door and do it. So most of them after and run the solo, but it usually caps out at 10Ks. So getting out the door solo, yes, the benefit for that. Mm. But I found probably since September last year till January, I started getting to a point where it was just fatiguing, just doing solo sessions. And it was more, didn't have that extra push when there is a mate next to you, which similar pace, you always try to drag each other along. Or even if you're doing 1K reps, alternating between who takes the lead of the rep, which we've done previously as well, having that another person to do, where you can switch off and sit behind someone's shoulder and then alternate the next rep, which gives you a bit more excitement. And I've seen benefits, like training with these guys only for 5 weeks. I've got my first PB in, I think it was like 8 or 9 months, so, which is good.
Yeah, I can't see many cons to being in a group. The only con I can think of, particularly a group like Burt, sometimes it's the fact of trying to keep up with faster runners in front of you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, like for me personally, I'm running with a group Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. But then, like you said, the solo runs, I'm out there on my own. The easier run solo is what I should be saying. And I'm finding that's a bit more manageable through the week to balance that group environment with the individual sort of side of things. And it seems like you're similar in that sense.
Yeah, 100%. So having that solo run, but that group environment for those grindy longer sessions or long runs, which has been beneficial.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, let's get into a bit of background about yourself, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
Shoes. So the shoes that you wear for all your runs, whether that be an easy tempo threshold session, long runs, how are you cycling through the footwear?
Yeah, so I like running in the Infinities Nike. So I've got two pairs of them that I rotate through, and generally all my easy running and my long runs will be in those. And then I love racing in the Next Percent.
Yeah, right. So what,
Vaporflies, yeah.
Yeah, so if we stick on the Vaporflies, what benefit have you found out of those as a running shoe for you?
To be honest, in the shorter distance, I don't find them too much. There's no great difference. But in the longer distance, I feel like I've done a half marathon in just a pair of just random ASICS shoes. You feel like the next day you've done something. Whereas if you do a half and Next Percent, I feel like it obviously gives you that extra percentage in the speed, but also the recovery just because of you're running on carbon plates and foam, which gives you the benefit. And even doing the easy runs in those Infinities, because of the cushioning on that, I feel like it gives you the ability to recover much better too.
Yeah, and what about spikes on the track? Have you tried them yet, or will you intend to do that and race on the track as well with that in mind?
I've got no real interest in racing on track. I probably only worn spikes maybe two or three times. So no passion really lies in the shorter, anything lower than a 5K. I may do a 5,000 on a track one day, but there's no real drive to do it.
Hey, you ran a handy mile the other week.
Yes, I did do a mile the other week. So I think it would have been actually just short of the mile. So it was a handicap that the Bush Turkey Track Club had. So it was good fun. So it's a bit of a different feeling. To be honest, I'd rather be doing a 10 or a half than doing a mile, because as soon as you finish that, you felt sick for the next, I reckon. Maybe there's 6 or 7 hours after, I just felt unwell.
It's very different, hey? Like the lactate, it's almost like your lungs burn on, you know, in that distance.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's like this cold feeling through your chest you get for a very long time.
Yeah, it feels like an age.
Yeah.
Hey, mate, we'll get to some questions of mine. We had a bit of a laugh the other day about the fact that I posted up on Instagram a question for the listeners to give you questions, and then it went to my archive after 24 hours and I can't locate the questions. You were concerned there was none in there anyway. I definitely had seen one. And I had a faint memory of what it was about earlier, because you mentioned something that reminded me of it. I just can't think of what it was. I'll get back to you off air, so to speak, if I can remember it. But happy to answer a few of mine.
Yeah, more than happy to.
Okay, this will be interesting. Your favorite run of the week, whether it be a session, long run, jog, tempo, which one is your favorite at the moment?
I would say the long run. Love the long run, and then probably closely followed by the tempo, which is that comfortable, but you know, you're working hard pace.
Okay. What would you think is the perfect mileage for a marathoner? Like, once they become fully conditioned after years of running, and I know that's quite subjective, but do you think you're running the right amount of Ks?
I think it's really depending on what your body can handle. Some people can do the lower mileage and then succeed in the marathon, where I don't have the natural speed at all. But can tolerate the higher mileage. So I feel like getting the legs stronger, and I'm hoping doing the longer runs and doing the longer Ks is going to help in the back half of the marathon for me. But it's really subjective, we assume. So it's really depending on how the individual's body is.
Yeah, it's a tough question, but I thought I'd throw it in there being a marathoner now. Mate, a few years ago, Marsham Park was the only place you'd basically run. I recall trying to get you out of that area. Yeah. So now, looking at the fact you've moved out running-wise in training, what's been your funnest location to run at, your best location? If you could just click your fingers and be there for a run, where would you be?
Yeah, okay. To be honest, I love the Sandgate waterfront. It's just, I love the coast, but we're not that close to the coast, so the waterfront's always a lovely place to just switch off and go for a jog. But we did a long run the other week out to North Pine Dam, which was pretty cool too as well. And then the loop around Clare Mountains is also a bit of fun.
Yeah, great. Hey, next one's about your asset, as your greatest asset as a runner. Let's pretend you and I are in a race, 5, 10K or yeah, half marathon. What's going to put you over me? What have you got out there to contend with?
I think it would be, I've got a habit of just not giving up. So I'll just stay on your shoulder, keep on grinding away, seeing what happens. So
I'll be there, teammate.
But yeah, it was just like the bad dream that keeps appearing over and over again.
Okay, biggest inspiration to run. Why do you wake up every morning at 4:30 to go for a run?
Well, there's a factor to just mental health and having those times just for mental health and just for health and fitness purposes. But I've got this crazy goal, hopefully one day trying to crack as close as the 2:30 mark in the marathon. And I know that's a long way away at the moment, but with the marathon, you have to put the building blocks down over years and years. So that's the reason I get up every morning and go for a jog.
Well, good luck to you on that one. What about any running role models that you have at the moment or ever?
Yeah. Ever? Yep. So there's elite athletes that there, but I think in general terms, Chris Wilhand would be a big role model for me. I'm known for the fact that he does the 9 to 5 or works full time and grinds away
and kids
as well. And kids, yes, no, that's something I don't have. So I've got that. I like the ability to just get out and go for a jog when I want to. But with Chris, he's a huge role model for me. Just not only the running aspects, but also using the knowledge and the research to make sure there is a purpose behind each of the runs. So he'd be the huge one. And I'll give Clive a bit of a shout out there as well, just because he's come back from a few injuries, and he's obviously, he was not as quick as he is now. And seeing that he's progressed through, it's always good to follow through someone's footsteps to see where you can get to.
Yeah, and I love you haven't sort of gone for an elite athlete. You've gone for runners that you have run with or have kind of mentored you in some ways. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But, mate, we'll finish it up there. We'll definitely get a few listeners. You could imagine from – you've sort of been in about 3 or 4 groups on and off, like the Moreton Bay group in a way and the South Pine Striders. That's what they're called, aren't they? South Pine Striders.
Yeah, definitely.
And the Bush Turkey guys, a bit of running with Chris. And, of course, just running out there meeting people in the community. But it's probably more so the ones that don't even know you and will tune in and sort of get some ideas about how to improve over a short period of time. Of course, there's things that are beneficial to you being predisposed in a now you're 50 kilos, you're lightweight, and the speed's developing and the attitude's there. So those things you definitely need. But it's all those intricacies that you've mentioned through the interview that I think will be picked up by anyone and everyone.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Ollie.
No problems, mate. We'll be in touch.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend in Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.